Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now we're going to dedicate today's Talk Back program to answering questions that we have gathered from the community here in Cairns regarding childhood immunisations. In the studio with me today, I have Dr. Mark Wenatong, Deli Brothers, Strategic Advisor for Lewicha Institute, Research Knowledge Translation, and then Augal Co-Chair of the QH Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Statewide Clinical Network. And a very good morning, Dr. Mark. How are you, my brother?
Good morning to you. I'm fantastically well, thank you.
Brother, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Okay, my name's Dr. Mark Wenatong. My mob's Cubby Cubby, on one side and Vanuatu on the other. I don't have any claims to fame except for my children, who are more famous than me.
You've been born them, that's why. Brother, good to see you. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation. We're talking about vaccines for our First Nation children. So some questions here for you. Let's talk about the human anatomy. Let's talk about the immunization, well, the immune system for human beings as such. Educate this this radio man, please, and all our listeners.
Look, to talk about vaccines, you have to have a little bit of an understanding of the human immune system. And when we say immunity, we're just talking about, like, how your body's so deadly and that it defends itself against germs and bacteria and stuff like that. And so there's two parts to that. One is, like, we call it non-specific, but that's just like the bouncer that stands out the front, you know. Anything that tries to come through, whack, whack.
Whack, whack, whack.
And, but lots of things can still get past bouncers, you know. So the second part of our immune system is, we call it specific, and that's when we start developing these things called antibodies. So every germ and every virus and stuff has a site on it we call an antigen. It's just somewhere where our body can recognize that germ and then put an antibody against it so that it makes it neutral, takes it away, so we don't get sick from that virus or that germ particularly. And this is like that part of the immune system that remembers is like cranky old granny, you know. Like, when, if you offend that lady one time, she never going to forget, ever. She might forgive you, but she'll never forget you. She'll be standing at the front of that thing with that
forgive, but not
stick,
forget.
Walking stick.
Crack you with it.
Crack you over the head with it. And that's what our memory system in this, that we're trying to boost when we give vaccines. So this part of our immune system is the really important one. That's the one that's got the memory. So so the first time, you know, what we do is we put all these things in a vaccine. There's really not that much in an actual vaccine itself. The main thing is what I was talking about before, that antigen part. So that's basically the way we get to that is that we find, you know, there's some really important bacteria and viruses that can cause a lot of illness for our mob and everybody, actually. And they're the ones. So we grab one of those, we smash it up, so make sure it's dead, and then we take some of those little parts of it and put it in with this vaccine. And then that means that when we inject it into somebody, your body sees him things and recognizes them, and then you have a reaction, so you start making these antibodies to respond to that. You know, when you take your kids to a doctor and first thing we do when they got a sore throat is feel their neck for their lymph nodes. Well, a lot of this stuff, that's where it happens, in the lymph nodes. So our body sees that bacteria coming in, or that antigen, responds to it, makes all these antibodies that attack it, and all that stuff gets made in them lymph nodes. That's why they come swelling up, you know, because we're making antibodies and trying to smash stuff.
Hence, doctors check underneath the neck there.
Yep, so that's how it basically works. Now, with vaccines, what we're really doing is saying, hey, look, before you get smallpox or something like that that's going to not kill you, we'll give you this little dose, and then your body can get ready for it. So by the time you get one of those bad diseases, your body's already ready.
It's like preparation.
It's preparation. It's making sure that your body already knows what them ones look like.
Sure, and attack them straight away.
Yeah, so it attacks it straight away. Not only little attack, but big attack.
So let's go back to the analogy of the bouncer standing at the door.
Yep.
So we got the ID of the young fellow who was here last week and run amok, and and so when we see him coming, we're ready for him.
Yep. And not only that, what we're doing is that we're grabbing a whole lot of those ones that are running amok before they go there.
Yeah.
And we're going to knock on a door and wait till Auntie opens the door and she sees them there. Mm. And she'll know
crack
they're
them
the
with
bad
sticks.
Ones. Yeah. And
crack
and
them
so,
with a stick.
even before they come and start messing up there, she'll recognise them.
Straight away.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing. We're just packaging up some of the bad disease bits with a vaccine. Making sure our body has seen it before, recognised it, and next time it comes in real life, like so these are like gammon, you don't get a proper infection from these. It's just telling your body these are bad things,
Sure.
And but when the bad infection comes along, then it smashes it. Our bodies smash it, straight away.
The human body is a fantastic mechanism, isn't
awesome,
it?
It's awesome, eh?
It knows what to do. I mean, like... look, man above or your maker, creator, whatever, created a beautiful specimen, eh?
Oh, it's amazing. And the more that I learn, and I keep learning more and more and more all the time in medical science and in our body, our physiology and stuff like that, the more I realise how amazing we are as people, as humans. And actually a lot of the stuff that I've been looking at as well ties into why we have some of the excess diseases that we have in our in our bodies as well as First Nations people. And there are real reasons for that. Not because people are lazy and fat and whatever. There's real physiological reasons.
Sure.
Based on.
But I would think too, black man to black man, the mental spiritual sense as well.
Oh,
your
absolutely.
Mind, your heart, your spirit. If you're talking yourself into sickness, there lies the problem.
Yeah, look, and all of our, from our perspective, there's not really a big distinction between mental, social, emotional well-being and physical, it's all part of the one thing, and so try not to break it up too much because, as you're saying, lots of things that can infect our mind affect how we feel and then affect our physical being and stuff like that. But also there's a lot of underlying physiological things that happen as well, and, things like we have a thing, microbiome. That's like all of
a
microbiome. It's
biome.
It's all the bugs, that live on our skin and in our gut and stuff like that. And they're really the ones in our gut do really good things for us, So they they're implicated now in things like type 2 diabetes, obesity, and stuff like that. And so they're all good bugs in there. But for us, we often start with a lot of antibiotics because we get skin infections when we're little and stuff like that all the way through. And it stuffs that up a bit.
Does it really?
So there's, some of those things are likely some of the reasons why we get some of the things that we get, around chronic disease, obesity, type 2 diabetes and things like that. So there's some really interesting new research happening around those things.
To our deadly listeners just tuned in, Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry National Talk Black, having a deadly yarn with Dr. Mark Winnetong, and we're talking about vaccines and for our First Nation children. Just give us a bit of background regarding the conversation about immunization or the immune system, as in the body that that carries us and the deadly mechanism that it is. So let's talk about the vaccine, how vaccine works, Dr. Mark. I'd like to know what's in these vaccines. How do they work?
Now, look, vaccines contain, as I was saying, they contain a whole lot of things from that little bit of the germ that we want the body to fight against. But there's not much else. The other things in there are like preservatives and things, or maybe sometimes antibiotics to make sure that vial, any fluid that you put in a vial, if you leave it around for long enough, was capable of getting in, bacteria or germs in it and stuff like that. So we always put preservative in there, something so they can, you know, last a long time. Well, it's, you know, like if we want vaccines to be able to go out to remote areas, we need them to be able to be stored for a long
time. Sure, so it doesn't go off. So they can go off, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Anything can. So just got to make sure there's preservatives, sometimes antibiotics. Sometimes there's things we call adjuvants, which really help our immune system to respond even more strongly to these bacteria and bacterial antigens that we put in the vaccine. So there's a few things in there. Some of them have got big names, and they look scary if you look at them on the bottle, but at the end of the day, they're just normal things, like they're in, you know, stuff that we eat every day, foods that we eat every day, etc. Some are just naturally occurring in our body as well. So way back in the past, they used to have mercury and stuff like that in it as a preservative. These days, there's only a couple of vaccines, and they have a different salt of mercury, so it doesn't cause toxicity and stuff like that. So all of those things have been really proven to be very, very safe now over a fairly long time, you know, like because we've had these things going for a long time now. And the interesting thing is that if you look at those graphs that show, you know, like diphtheria or something like that, or tetanus, and it was high levels. As soon as we started vaccines, bang, went down to almost zero. So, you know, and we never, almost never hear about them these days, some of those diseases, because vaccines have been really, really both safe but really effective as well.
Fantastic. So if, I'm just thinking about, say, kids taking vaccine, if everyone else's kids are vaccinated, my kids should be okay. If they're not, is that right? Fair to say?
Look, that's kind of one way of looking at things. The problem, of course, is that in within our populations in Australia and in the world, there's almost always pools of these bacteria and viruses that we vaccinate against. So everybody can get vaccinated, but there still can be some pools. So if you're not vaccinated, your children certainly still can get some of the bad ones, you know. And although we don't hear as much about it these days, there's definitely, there's been cases of diphtheria in our communities only last year. And prior to that, tetanus in Australia. So these things are still around. The only way to actually fully get rid of them is if you had 100% people vaccinated. But, but that's not...
That'll never happen.
And look, there's some people that can't get vaccinated because they have other, you know, other autoimmune issues and stuff like that, disease issues. So so we're trying to do it so we can protect everybody as much as we possibly can. So even if everybody else is kind of vaccinated, that doesn't mean to say that your children still can't get...
So that strategy, that strategic plan, all them other kids are vaccinated, so I don't have to vaccinate my kid, that's not a good plan.
It's not a very good plan. It's probably a little bit selfish in some way, you know what I mean?
Because
we're all trying to be in this together to protect each other and stuff, so letting everybody else do the hard work, you know?
Exactly.
But good way, I mean.
Good way.
There's lots of reasons why people don't like this, and good reasons as well, you know? So I'm not trying to bag anybody here, but basically when it comes to things like these kinds of infectious diseases, as we found from the pandemic, we're all at risk unless we all do something.
So, look, our mob, First Nation people, a little bit... shy in regard to vaccines or needles or medicine. We've got our own medicine that's been on country, so to speak, foot in the sand. But vaccine safety, are the vaccines, are they safe? And how can I be sure about that?
Oh, look, we're in our country in Australia, we have one of the most safe drug testing and drug regimes in the world. We're probably more strict than most countries, most Western countries.
Okay.
I mean, there's a couple of groups, you know. The main ones, the TGA, Therapeutic Goods Association. All these things have to get through very, very rigorous clinical testing around this. And I know people will think, oh, you know, but drug companies can buy you off. Well, they can't really in Australia.
No.
We have very...
They're really policed and regulated.
Yeah,
and
it's very regulated here. And as well as that, we keep a very, very good record of any adverse reactions that people have had. So, you know, and I'm not talking about the just the normal kind of, you know, bit grumpy, bum might be a bit grumpy, or a bit of swelling at the site of injection. I'm talking about, you know, the bigger things that can go wrong with any medication or any drug.
Of course. Well, they're well tested before they're put out to the public, aren't they?
Absolutely. So, and definitely, look, in Australia, we wouldn't be putting out medications that we didn't think were safe for our population, you know, for all of our population, I mean. And so anything that looks unsafe, we investigate it very thoroughly. But also means, though, that if you do have, if your bub does have reaction, it's really important to report it, you know, not just kind of let it go, but and if you're worried, you know, definitely get it reviewed.
Which probably leads to my next question. What if my baby gets sick from getting their needles? Is that true? Is there anything I can do to stop it?
The side effects from vaccines are almost always mild. And so, having said that, you know, it's easy for somebody who's given a vaccine to say that. But when you've got to take care of three kids, they've just been vaccinated,
exactly.
They're all grumpy, you know.
And they're puffing up with swollen glands or what have you.
So, look, all of those things go away within a few days, almost always. Little bit of redness and soreness at the injection site usually is there. Sometimes bub can be grisly for a couple of days. Sometimes they can have a bit of a temperature as well. And Panadol is usually enough to deal with any of that stuff. So that's like 99.9% of the time.
Yes.
If you're worried, though, you know, if bub stays grisly or temperature goes up high and you're a bit worried, always bring them back in for a review.
Always bring them back in. Yeah. Which probably leads to my next question. Could there be problems we don't know about, like something that comes up much later?
Oh, yeah, look, the Australian childhood vaccines have been going for a long time, the most of them. You know, there's a few newer ones like the HPV vaccine and stuff like that. But the majority have been in place for a long, long time.
Yes.
So we've got long, long data on their safety and any side effects and stuff like that. So it's pretty unlikely that anything's going to come up in the future that hasn't already come up.
That's all the side effects. So when drugs are put to the table and then put out to the public, through the testing, they look at all the different side effects that came up. Well, if they're really, really bad, well, they don't put them out there. It becomes a... no-go zone.
Yeah, it's contraindicated and you can't use it. Wouldn't be used in Australia.
Yeah.
Rigorous testing of all of these. We look at long-term effects as well.
Yes.
And so that's really covered off on. And newer ones, when we say new drugs and new vaccines, they're new to the public, but they've been tested for a long time.
Okay, there you go. Yes.
Ways. So,
that's good to know. When they say new drug that's come out, well, no, they've been tested for years.
They could have 10.
Now they're coming out, so the class is new, but not new in the sense of the studies.
No, 10 or 15 years, you know.
Okay.
Before that.
So is it okay for my baby to have more than one vaccine at the same time? Would I be better to space them out?
Oh, look, mostly we'd say that it's better to get all your shots at the same time if possible. There's no reason why you can't. It doesn't make you any sicker. If you kind of delay some vaccines, there's a risk that, you know, when I said earlier on that, so when we give a vaccine, the antibodies go up really high and it can fight off anything.
Mm.
Well, those antibodies drop off over a period of time. So if you don't get your vaccine in the right time, then that can drop off and bub can be open to getting some of those bad diseases. So that's why we say, look, keep the timing exactly right, as right as you can, so that bub can be, you know, children can be protected the whole time. We can make sure that they are protected. If you miss out a vaccine and stuff like that, it's really important to just go in and get a catch-up. So we can do that. And look, nobody going to be judge up or anything like that.
No, sure.
If you missed out here and there. But we can put you on a different regime to make sure that you catch up and that kids are well and truly protected.
Mm. I always have yarns on radio here, National Talk Black, with Brother Steve Renouf, who's with the Indigenous Digital Healthcare.
Yeah.
And so with that healthcare, that's good for our mob, because you can see if your children are behind in a vaccine, there it is.
Yeah.
There's the records.
Yeah, no.
Makes it easy, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So all them systems to try and keep things up to date, And they're for a reason, because we've kind of looked at the best time intervals to give these vaccines that'll give the best effective protection, you know.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So that's really important. The other thing is that with children, children can get sicker faster than adults.
Okay. Yep.
So it's really good idea to keep them well and truly vaccinated against these kinds of serious diseases, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know researchers have said that, you know, it's no more traumatic for a child to get one needle as to two at each thing. I don't know about that, but just a little all hurts to me. But and I hate, you know, like, you know, little bub comes in and you know looking all smiling and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Next minute jab
and crying. You don't want to see you ever again.
Absolutely. but look, that's not much different from more traumatic than falling over at home. You know, like,
yeah,
you
sure.
know, this isn't major trauma or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
These are very short acting, very small needles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really well and truly worthwhile.
Yeah. Now, if one of my children has allergies, should he be vaccinated too?
Absolutely. Go talk to the clinical staff first. We, you know, need to find out exactly what allergies and things like that.
Mm.
There's some that might be more important than others. But generally speaking, if you're, you know, allergic or you have things like asthma, which are associated with allergies, and a thing called atopy, you know, hypersensitivity and stuff like that, you've got a high risk of getting serious infections as well. So it's definitely worthwhile being vaccinated for most of those children.
Mm. Okay. Are these diseases really serious? Isn't it better just to get sick and get it over with?
Yeah, that's what they used to say for smallpox too, but some of that had a mortality rate of 90%.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, yeah, best be safe than sorry.
If 10% got it and survived, they lived, but the other 90% died. Now, look, it's a good thought, you know. If all things being equal, and we had very, very good nutrition, good immunity, we all ate the right stuff, we didn't drink alcohol, smoke cigarettes, take anything else, we'd probably have a lot better immunity to be able to fight off these things. But currently, look, bugs can get past our systems all the time, you know, and you only have to think about STIs, like, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you know, you can have the most good, I mean, you know, you can have high immunity, but you still got to be careful, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
For these kind of things. So bugs can definitely catch us unaware, and it's just really important that to keep the vaccines up, but I can't remember what I'm talking about now.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about diseases. Are these diseases even still around when we're talking like whooping cough, flu, and yeah, and like all these other diseases? Are they still around?
Yeah, they are. They sit in pockets, as I was saying earlier. You know, you can you hope that they're mostly gone. There's some ones that we hope have been eradicated from the world, you know, like polio and stuff like that. But there's others that definitely pop up from time to time, and it just means a couple of things. One, that, you know, we definitely can still get them, and two, if you're not vaccinated, you'll be even more naive, or that'll mean
open to diseases.
Yeah, it'll probably be worse for you,
because
Your body's never seen these ones before, you know, and they're very important, serious ones as well.
Mm.
There was a question you asked just before that about just getting over it, yeah. So
getting
look,
serious, are these diseases really serious? Is it better just to get sick and get it over with?
Yeah, generally, you know, there's some infections, like, you know, mild colds and stuff like that. It's not that big a deal.
Mm.
But the ones that we're talking about here, and we only target the really important ones, that you're not necessarily going to get over it.
Like, yeah,
and that's the whole point of these, is that, you know, if it sneaks in before your body's been, you know, had the vaccination, as we were saying before, it can cause a lot of problems.
It can germinate in there.
Yeah, and if your body's seen it, noticed it before, started working against it, when it comes along, it's no big deal.
No big
your
deal.
Body will just fight it
body's
off
ready
fast.
For it and body's prepared. Yeah. Why do babies start getting vaccinated so young, and why do they have to have so many in the first 2 years?
Look, the whole idea here is like younger children can get sicker, and they can get sicker faster, and these diseases are the ones that can hit children and can be very, very serious. For children, it's really, really important that we get in as soon as we can, ensure that they've got protection against those kinds of serious diseases. And the earlier, the better. The only reasons why we don't go even earlier with some vaccines is because children's bodies aren't able to mount a good antibody response at some, at some earlier ages.
Mm.
So we've got to wait till that can happen. But as soon as it's possible, it's good to make sure our children are protected from those serious diseases,
Yeah. To our deadly mob out there, if you just tuned in, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black, having a deadly yarn with Dr. Mark Winnetong, and we're just talking about vaccines for our First Nation children and all the questions that especially mob here in Cairns have been asking about vaccine, and we've just come through pandemic and COVID-19 and the vaccination with all that, So a lot of questions are coming up in the community about vaccines. So I thought it'd be great to catch up with Dr. Mark and have all the questions there for our deadly black doctor to give us the Murray yarn in regard to this space. That's what we're talking about, brother Mark, Let's go back to the questions. What happens if I wait a while and get the vaccines done later?
Look, it's better not to. If it can't be helped, like if you're travelling, if you're in between communities or whatever, sometimes you can't always get there on the exact date or around, that exact date. Mm. But it's really, really important to as much as possible, as much as you possibly can, get the children vaccinated on the right dates, because this has all been worked out and calculated on how much protection wanes over time or so, So if we let it go too long...
So there's a method for the madness.
Oh, there is. Look, and it's from some rigorous science behind it, scientific studies and stuff like that. But it also means that, that those little periods where our children might not be properly protected makes it not worthwhile. So, it's definitely worthwhile getting vaccinated and then keeping to that.
This is the time we use white fella time, not Murray time, not black fella time, not TI time. Be on time is what you're saying, doctor.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
Too deadly. Now, what do our bubs get more shots? Why do our bubs get more shots than other children?
We have where we can get more different kinds of diseases than some of the other mainstream mob in Australia. So we're more at risk of some of those things. And some of that may be due to, our immune response. Some may be due to some kids might have poor nutrition and stuff like that, so can't mount a very good immune response. There's lots of reasons. That other stuff I talked to you about earlier about microbiome and things like that may play a role in this. But our children are more at risk for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
And it's really worthwhile us making sure that we can take care of them and protect them, like things like the meningitis vaccine, really important. Like, when you see a little child with meningitis, you realise how important the vaccines are,
Yeah.
And there's some ones that are really specific for our mob as well, just because we're at higher risk for those other reasons. So really worthwhile us taking advantage of the fact that we can get them as well. We can get them for free.
To a deadly mob out there, like I said, you tuned in, National Talk Black, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First National Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Also, I want to make an acknowledgement to CBF, Community Broadcast Foundation, their support with this deadly program and all our deadly yarns here on Murray Radio. Give a big shout out as well to First Nation Radio Station across this beautiful country, our Deadly Black Network. To Deadly Mob, keep doing what you're doing. So yarn up stronger with Dr. Mark Winnetong, talking about vaccines for our little bubs, our First Nation children. So next question I got for you, Dr. Mark, should I get my baby vaccinated if she is sick?
It's always important to go get a checkup. So what we'd say is that if a child's temperature is over 38.5, we'd put off the vaccination. And that's just to make sure that it doesn't get confused with some other illness that's sitting underneath it, because we don't want people later on just saying, oh, I just thought it was a vaccine, you know, if they're actually sick from something else. So
yes.
We want to keep them separate. And then we also want to be able to report on adverse events as well. So if Bubba's already sick, we can't tell whether it's an adverse event or not.
Okay. So wait till they overcome the sickness.
Yeah, but illness. But the best way to do that, because half of us don't even have thermometers anyway, we don't go around checking our kids' temperature. Is it 38.5 or whatever, you know? We're just saying that kid is hot.
That's not hot, yeah, true.
So it's always
cold shower.
Always better to bring the children in to the clinic and say, hey, look, they had a bit of a temperature, you know.
Supposed to get their vaccine today, but
yeah.
I just brought them to bring it in, yep.
And then the nurses can take temperature, you know, properly at the clinic and stuff, and you can get a good idea. If it's below that, we'd definitely still give the vaccination. If it's above that, we just wait till it's settled down a bit, you know, for those particular reasons.
And what's that, usually 2 days?
Yeah, a couple of days. And look, if Bob's temperature's over 38.5, probably worthwhile getting them checked out.
Okay.
Anyway,
yes,
you know,
anyway,
so
exactly.
Yeah, so it's good that they're there and they can get, you know, doctor or nurse can have a listen to their chest and stuff like that, make sure everything's okay.
Okay, beautiful. There seems to be new vaccines every year. Why is that? New disease popping up now, new needles? What?
Well, there's some things that we haven't been able to deal with, you know, and that we're only developing vaccines from now, like I was saying, HPV, which can cause cancer, you know, in girls and stuff like that. So that vaccine took a fair while to get developed, and now it's out there, and we've definitely seen, you know, really impressive results from that, with less, you know, less of that kind of cancer around. So there's the more that we know about that we can actually do something about, we'll develop vaccines for. There'll be an end to it, but because, you know, there's not, you know, unlimited amount of viruses and infectious diseases out there.
Sure.
There's a couple that we haven't done yet. One is group A strep. That's the one that causes rheumatic heart disease.
Okay.
Now, that would be good. Like, people are working on a vaccine.
So why are they slow in that department?
Yeah, it's just the science behind it. Like, viruses are much smaller and much more compact, and they've only got a small amount of RNA or DNA in them, and it seems to be easier to develop vaccines around some of those. Some of the bacteria, though, have big coatings on their outside. Bacteria can fool lots of things. You know, they can make antibiotics, so the antibiotics don't work as well against them and stuff like that. So it takes a bit more time sometimes for some bugs to be able to work out a vaccine that will actually be effective and that the bug won't be able to overcome itself, you know. So that's why there's some that we haven't been able to do yet.
Sure. A work in progress at that. You Daily Mob tuned in. Trinity Trev here, Murray from Curry, National Talk Black, having a deadly yarn with Dr. Mark Winnetong and talking about vaccines for our First Nation children, all their pickaninnies, looking after them. But look, stay tuned. We've got some messages coming up here very soon, and play some deadly songs as well. Stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM, National Talk Black. Too deadly.
I see one, bro. Yeah, good, brother. Yeah, good. So it looks like we have another question here on this main question sheet, and we'll tackle some of these questions. But the time is deadly, brother. And look, it's been 32 minutes now, so for the hour, then we're chucking songs with that as well. That'd be deadly. Good, good. But good, I'm getting educated too, so thank you, brother. We are students for life, aren't we?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, let me tune back in. Hey, you Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, having a deadly yarn here with Dr. Mark Winnetong, and talking about vaccines for our little ones, for our little pickaninnies, our children, and all the questions that our community mob here have been asking. So it's good to have that yarn, and a deadly yarning circle it is. Dr. Mark, thank you. So talking about, does my child really need a flu shot every year? There's another big question.
Yeah, look, it's recommended for our children to get that flu shot. And that's because, like, everybody call it man flu, eh? When a man gets a flu and is groaning and moaning and, like, you know, feeling all serious and everyone's sad and sorry for us.
Sook.
But but that's because they're bad. Flus can be really, really bad. And when you're a child, it can be even worse. And so, they're still you know, there's still, we still have children that die from from influenza. So it's really important. And it's also because, as I was saying before, we may have in different areas or different families, there may be ones who don't have as much access to good food and nutrition, so that means their immunity won't be as good and things like that, amongst other things. So really important that if we have access to these kinds of vaccines, it will definitely stop illness and stop it being as serious if we do get it.
Mm.
Really important that we take advantage of it
and
get those shots. It's every year because there's a different lot of flu viruses that come out every year, and we try and basically catch them before the flu season make a vaccine that works for the ones that will be coming out in the next year.
Okay.
So that's why that has to happen.
Okay, Rodeo. Okay. Because we think every year, now there's a new vaccine out, so we have to take another vaccine. But there's reasons for that.
Yeah.
And like I said, all the science behind it. And
yep.
So we have scientists, doctors working behind the scenes in regard to the medicines coming out, don't we?
Yep. Yep, look, absolutely. And I think one thing we found during the pandemic was that there's a lot of good medical science.
Mm.
There's also a lot of scepticism, but, you know, within populations, people are going, sure. Oh, you know, the mob just must get paid money to give vaccines and stuff like that, and all that stuff isn't
all
just
the chemists are getting rich now.
Yeah, yeah.
Another new medicine.
And look, I don't know how it works. Some other countries, there may be incentives, you know, and things like that.
Sure.
But in Australia, you'd be deregistered if you
doing wrong things.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're doing it for financial gain, so to speak.
Absolutely. We don't work that way, and the system doesn't work that way in Australia. So
look,
there's a couple of things that I reckon, you know, just kind of summarising some of this is the vaccines that we have in Australia are very safe.
Yes.
There's no medication that is 100% safe, like it doesn't matter whether it's aspirin, Panadol, whatever, you know. And let's face it, half the stuff that we take in from Coca-Cola through to KFC is, you know, I'm not sure if I can say them names, but anyway. Can have bad effects as well. Mostly we take a balance in life all the time. And with vaccines, that's what we're doing as well. We're saying, hey, is the risk worth the benefits? And it is in this case because the seriousness of the diseases that we get.
Yeah.
Does anybody like getting vaccines? No. Do you like seeing your kids getting vaccinated? No.
No.
We all hate it. Like half the staff start crying because them baby crying, you know. So no one likes it, and if we could do without it, we would. But currently, it's the best form of protection for a lot of these serious diseases, so it remains worthwhile. Australians' protections around this are really high level. If you're unwell, always get a checkup. You know, if Bub's unwell or the children are unwell when their vaccine's due, just get them to be checked up first and make sure the temperature's not too high. Just remember, we monitor all of the safety and adverse events that happen from any vaccination. So if you do have something come up, please tell us. Come back in and report it. Make sure we know about it. But it's very, very unlikely, other than those usual kind of flu, jab symptoms where
side
you know,
effects.
bit of pain at the side. Bub might be grumpy. The kids might be grumpy for a while. Might have a little bit fluey and stuff like that. Usually only lasts for a couple of days and usually responds to children's Panadol. And though we are getting increasing. Seems like it's getting a bit more complicated now. We've got a lot of childhood vaccinations that mum and dad have to remember to take kids for and stuff like that. It's all been kind of worked out from a science perspective as to when you get these vaccinations and how effective they'll be given at the right time and all that
kind of stuff.
So we don't
have to be the medical professionals.
No.
It's already mapped out, isn't it, regarding what vaccines are needed.
Trust me, I'm a witch doctor.
Featherfoot.
I also need to say, like, you know, there's no problems with being sceptical either.
Sure.
You know?
But be open-minded sceptical.
Yeah, yeah. Like, be sceptical about everything.
Sure.
Not just the mainstream, you know, the kind of routine medical stuff. There's lots of other weird stuff out there as well. You know, if you're worried, ask. If you're worried about the children, ask and bring them in for a checkup. We really basically are just trying to take care of our, of our children.
Exactly.
Make sure they get the healthiest start to life that they possibly can have, and don't get sick from all of these chronic disease, infectious diseases and stuff like that. So, end of the day, it's basically that choice of the benefits outweigh the risks, you know.
Yes.
And they certainly do in this case.
So, talking about children having diseases, can children still get the disease if they're immunised?
Yeah, look, you definitely can still get it, but generally, sometimes you don't at all, because your body just fights it off. But otherwise, there's usually a few symptoms if you're fighting it off as well, you know. And you can feel tired and lethargic and all that kind of stuff. And you can still get some of those diseases, but a lot less serious than, so, you know.
Serious strains.
Yeah.
Exactly. When we talk about vaccines, what actually is in the vaccine?
Oh, yeah. So there's a number of things inside the vaccine. The main bit is the bit of bacteria or virus that we smashed up and it's dead. And then we want that to be able to be exposed to your body so that your body can have a response to it and then fight off that disease when the real bug comes. There's sometimes antibiotics, sometimes preservatives, and sometimes other things we call adjuvants, which really help the body to respond even better to the vaccine and the antigen. So that's about all that's in them these days.
Okay. Fantastic. To our deadly mob tuned in, our National Talk Black, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, having a deadly yarn with Dr. Mark Winnetong, and we're talking about vaccines and vaccines for our First Nation children, side effects, all the questions that come with vaccines, us mob in the dark, so to speak, and want to know what's going on regarding medicines and vaccines and needles and what have you. That's what's good to have a yarn here with Dr. Mark Winnetong, being a black doctor. Well, being a doctor, he happened to be a black man, you know, and talking about his profession and his, black medicine yarn as well. I say that, eh, Dr. Mark? Too deadly, mob. Thanks for tuning in. But more questions coming your way here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Don't touch that dial, BBM 98.7 FM. And a big shout out to NERS National Digital Radio Service. Too deadly. Okay, welcome back, you mob, to your daily program, National Talk Back Yarn, with Dr. Mark Winnetong regarding vaccines, immunizations, childhood immunization questions from our mob in the communities. Dr. Mark, are all childhood immunizations free?
Yeah, for us and in Australia, they're free. If for some reason you wanted to get a special one that wasn't available usually, then you might have to pay for it. But for our mob, all of them are free.
Yeah. So why do all children need vaccines? I think you mentioned earlier, children get sicker faster a lot more than adults.
Yep. To be able to protect our children from serious diseases early in life is really important. One, so that they don't die from, these serious diseases early, or they don't get very sick from them and have an ongoing complication.
Because that's the other question I was going to ask you. Do vaccines prevent death?
Most certainly. Have definitely, we've shown that from data, we prevent a lot of deaths.
Yes.
In those, there's a whole lot of different vaccines, obviously, and have different profiles and things. But definitely they can prevent death, and they can prevent serious illness and, going into intensive care and all those kinds of things. And they can minimise symptoms as well. And in some cases, they can stop you getting the disease altogether.
Okay. Can vaccines cause or spread disease? That's probably a silly question.
No, vaccines are almost all inactivated, so that means they can't do anything really. They're dead.
Once you have the vaccine.
Yeah, so the stuff that, you get's not alive. There is one that's alive vaccine we take extra precautions with and stuff like that, but otherwise they're all dead, so you can't get anything from them at all and you can't pass anything on from them.
So you probably answered this question before, but just to reiterate and probably help our mob out there, are vaccines properly tested and monitored?
Yeah. Look, I think in Australia we probably have one of the safest risk profiles testing profiles in the world, and we tend to be stricter than a lot of other countries with our therapeutic goods mob who monitor this kind of stuff. And so not only do we make sure that there's a lot of rigorous testing done and are safe for humans before and children before we use them on our population, but we also monitor their outcomes and make sure if there's any adverse events or if there's a lot, you know, we can go, hey, there's something going wrong there.
Yep.
Take it off the market if that's the case. You know, those are the kind of things that we have to have in place. And so we have a very good profile for this in Australia.
So all doctors, when giving out medication, they get feedback from the patient if there's any side effects or what have you. They've got to report all that, don't they?
Yep.
And it all goes back into data, so to speak. So that's how they, police or they keep an eye on the new drug that's going out, for example, and the side effects. So there's a lot of data to and from patient and doctors giving out stuff,
Yeah. And look, this can be a bit confusing sometimes because what we suggest is people report everything or anything that happens. And when we do a proper review, it may not have anything to do with the vaccination whatsoever.
Sure, okay. So
we have a lot more reports than we do of actual ones that have definitely been caused by vaccinations and stuff like that.
Yeah. So when the so-called scientists look at the responses or the side effects from a drug, they marry it all up and find out what's a common cause, for example, side effects.
Yep.
And they data it that way, don't they?
Yep. And it also, as you were saying before, there's if we start getting a whole lot of side effects, you know, in one area, you can say, oh, maybe it was a bad batch that went to a particular area and stuff like that. So we can keep an eye on everything at a population level, at a geographical level as well from the batch numbers because we report we record all of the batch numbers.
So they're not willy-nilly just giving us giving us vaccines to take.
This is well regulated.
Beautiful. Speaking of regulated, do vaccines cause sudden infant death syndrome? SIDS is what I'm talking.
There's no evidence that vaccines cause SIDS at all. There's no evidence that vaccines cause any of the issues that have come up, you know, in the past that have been kind of big problems. A big issue around autism at one stage way back in the day, and that's been well and truly proven to be not, there's been no association. That was about a certain scientist and the work that he was doing, you know. He had his own agenda around that. So there's been a fair bit of misinformation as well around vaccine safety and stuff like that, and partly that's due to, as I was saying before, you know, you can get big database with every single adverse event reported, but then there's the next one down that's about, you know, a hundredth of that, which is ones that have been actually verified and validated. So it can be confusing for people, you know, and if you're looking at the data, you can say, oh, gee, looks bad or looks good. But at the end of the day, it's really important to get the right data, and that just is not believing everything that's on social media, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least having a bit of a critical
hear from the horse's mouth, your doctor.
Yeah. Well, yeah, look, and even us, you know, we don't know everything.
Sure.
So we have to look up stuff. We have to talk to experts as well.
Yes.
And most of us should be humble enough to be able to do that without, you know, trying to
get
make
an ego out of whack. I'm a doctor. I know what I'm talking about. Now, if the diseases are rarely seen, why do we still need vaccines?
Yeah, look, this is because there's always pools of these diseases still sitting around. And and if you're not vaccinated, you have a higher risk of getting these. You actually also have a higher risk of carrying it and continuing it on. So you can you might even have some of these without symptoms, but you're carrying it around, you know, and you can give it on to other people.
Yeah.
So who are not vaccinated as well. But really important, that there's always some pools of these. Most haven't been eradicated. They're still around. And so while we don't hear of big outbreaks, but, you know, we still have, like, the measles outbreak in the Pacific last year.
Yeah.
That was because people just were got a bit slack with, you know,
vaccinations.
Same with
it shows you the vaccine works.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And there's you know, been as I was saying earlier, there's been cases of tetanus, cases of diphtheria in the last few years. So those things are still around.
Yeah, gotcha.
We can't take the foot off the accelerator now. You know, we've got to keep going.
What is the appropriate age bracket for Indigenous children to be immunised?
It depends what we're talking about here. So, usually it's after 6 months, but it depends on what vaccine and what, you know, what the whole program is there for different ones. Some don't get a vaccination until later. For some vaccines, it's not until later. Some are earlier. Some of that depends on the body's ability at different ages to, you know, respond and produce the antibodies that we're trying to make, you know, so that they can be protected. So it does vary a bit.
So where do we take our children? Where do children go to get vaccinated, Doctor?
Look, you know, if you can go to GP services, community health services, and Aboriginal medical services, you know, the Aboriginal community control services. If you are not sure, just call them. Sometimes might need a, you know, make an appointment and stuff like that. And if you do, it's probably easier because it's usually faster.
Yes.
And then you can get them on a non-busy morning and stuff like that, so you don't have to wait around a long time. If you've got more than a couple of children and stuff like that, it's always good to let everyone know, you know, let the clinic know that you're bringing in four children, you know, for their
heads
checkups
up.
And a vaccination, you know, because that takes a bit longer. And as you'd know, by the time you give the first one a jab and they're screaming, them other three are not going to be happy to be there, you know. So you gotta get it right. But and nobody's happy about that. But so it's a good idea to give a clinic a call, let them know, you know, you've got a few kids and you're coming in, or make an appointment to come in at the right time, and then everything can be managed better.
Okay, now which way the yarn in regard to communication with our mob? What is the process of communication in layman's term? Murray Talk is playing the vaccines for our children.
I think we've still got a way to go in making sure all our messaging is normal, you know, like normal language, not, you know. When I think about this kind of stuff, you know, when we say, oh, antigens and all that kind of stuff and preservatives and all the other things, there's easier ways of saying that, you know, because the antigens are really just a smashed up piece of bacteria, you know.
Yeah.
So black fellas can understand that, you know. So it's dead, and your body can still, you know, recognize bits and pieces of that and then fight it off when it comes in as a live bug and stuff like that. So, yeah, we still do need to do more, though, around proper communication. And yes. I also think probably in language in lots of areas, you know. We did that in the pandemic as well. Got people in different areas to, you know, put it into their own language and then put it out so people could understand it more. For some things, you know, our mob a lot more visual, so sometimes we'll post some pictures. On social media.
Videos, whatever.
Easier, yeah.
YouTube.
Easier to show these things
social
because,
media.
You know, to be honest, like, you know, the way our paintings work and the messages in our paintings, we probably have better ways of communicating some of these kind of things around how vaccines work than other people because we kind of have stories in our paintings, you know, already.
Too deadly. I think that's it, Dr. Mark. Thank you so very much for a beautiful yarn about vaccination for our young ones, our Pickaninnies, our First Nation children, and some very important questions there, and you answered them so well. But it's good to have that yarn and to talk to our mob and communicate with them.